Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Shmiras HaLashon class learning, a Gittin Mayid to all. Moadim L'Simcha. It is Chol HaMoed. This is unusual. Usually on Chol HaMoed, I do not teach my classes, but this year there was a lot of interest from women, and I do on Monday and even tomorrow morning, Erev Yom Tov, have Shir. The women are very interested. Someone replied back, she told me it's going to be my Chol HaMoed trip this year. So Baruch Hashem, we are learning a better way to bring us Simchas Yom Tov and to immerse ourselves in the wisdom of Torah. I was actually zochet to see Alyssa on Shabbos a couple of times. She was being osik in the very halig mitzvah of kabeit esavicha ve'es imecha, and she happened to, I'm putting that in quotes, because a mikra ba'olam, walked down my block, so I did get to see our hostess and shir sponsor two times over Yom Tov, and she mentioned to me on Shabbos, she said, it's my father's yurtzai, and I thought how appropriate it is that we are unusually learning on Chol HaMoed. It was just Alyssa's father's yurtzai, so this class is dedicated for an aliyah neshama, for Tzvi Gershon ben Yoel Vachana, Alav Hashem, may his neshama have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. Let's begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. Ribono she'olam, yihi ratzon mefanecha al rachum v'chanin she'tezekeni hayim l'chol yom lishmor piyu lishonim milashon hara v'chilus v'ezaher melidaber afilu al ish yachid v'kol she'kein al kal yisrael o al chedek mehem v'kol she'kein melisraim al midosav she'al kodesh baruch hu v'ezaher melidaber divrei sheker chanufa mecholkes ka'as gaiva onas dvarim habanas panim leitzonis v'chol dibur aser v'zakeni she'lo ledaber ki im davar hatzorich l'irane gufi v'naf she will come aside with the Bible Shem Shemaim Amen v'amen. As chus for Aliyah Neshama, Zechiras Neshama for Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoel V'chana Alav Hashem. May the Neshama have a high Aliyah to the highest place in the Yeshiva Shamala. With Alyssa's permission, chus refuah bracha v'gai bas racha gita, as well as all cholim besoch sha'ar chole Yisrael. May we all merit rachami shamayim during these difficult times. So I did send out a post of what I hope Be'ezras Hashem we're going to be going through. I just want to begin with a beautiful insight that's not specifically related to today's topic per se, but it's on Koach HaDibur. There's a reading through, I could say learning through, the new Haggadah of Rabbi Pesach Kron at the Magid Seder. I don't know if anybody else has it or had time to look through it, but there was one story in here that I wanted to share with you that I read that's related specifically to Koach HaDibur and very, very powerful. And then we will go to the topic of today's Shir. So I'm quoting from the Rabbi Pesach Kron Haggadah, and he brings a very nice insight. We talk about the four sons in the Haggadah, okay? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Amai So Baruch Hu. I saw many places that those four Baruchs are Keneged Arba Banim. And then we say, Keneged Arba Banim Dibre Torah, Echad Chacham, Ve'echad Racha, Shah, Ve'echad Tam, Ve'echad Sheino Dilishol. The next thing we say is, Chacham Mahu Omer. What does the wise son say? Maha Eidos Vachukim Vamishpat, Mesher Tziva Hashem Elkeinu Eschem. This is a quote from the Book of Devarim. The Chacham asks to know, what are these laws and these statutes and these mitzvahs that Hashem commanded? Okay, but Rabbi Pesach Kron brings down, I'm quoting from his new Haggadah at the Magid Seder, page 113 for your reference, Chacham Mahu Omer, and the topic is called Wise Men Speak. He writes, there are those who homiletically read these words, there are those who homiletically read these words as Chacham Mahu, what is a wise person? Omer. What he says. A wise person can be defined by what he says. So instead of putting the question mark after the word Omer, we could put the question mark after Chacham Mahu, question mark, what defines a wise person? Omer, by the way he speaks. But I was thinking to myself that you could put this by all of the Arba Banim, Rasha Mahu. How do you know what a Rasha is? Omer, by the way the Rasha speaks. So it's not just by the Chacham, Tam Mahu. What is a Tam? A simple person? Omer, by what he says or what he does not say. And interestingly, She'enu Yodea Lishol is one who does not know how to speak. So the Haggadah does not say B'She'enu Yodea Lishol Mahu Omer, because the She'enu Yodea Lishol does not know how to speak, so he doesn't say anything. So there is no Mahu Omer because he does not speak at all. So the Chacham Mahu Omer. The Chacham, what is he? Someone who says. I'm going to quote from Rabbi Kron. Shlomo HaMelech teaches in Mishlei, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches, Yesh Bote Kimad Kiros Charav Uloshon Chachamim Marpe. There is one who speaks harshly, like the piercing of a sword, but the language of the wise heals. Yesh bota kimad kiros charev. Ulashon chachamim amarpe. There is one who speaks harshly, like the piercing of a sword, but the language of the wise marpe heals. And then he tells over the following story about Rav David Trink. He says, Rav David Trink, a master rabbi, principal, and counselor for more than 50 years, was informed, and I believe, I'm not sure if it's the same Rabbi Trink, he doesn't say which yeshiva he's associated with, but my sense that Rabbi Trink is the menahal of the Shmuel Darche High School, the Darche B'Sifta. Rav David Trink, a master rabbi, principal, and counselor for more than 50 years, my son says this is Rabbi Trink from Darche. Rabbi Cohen doesn't write that, but it's Rabbi David Trink, was informed on a Friday night that one of his students had just stolen a car and gone to the movies on Friday night. When Rabbi Trink verified this to be true, he decided to go. By the way, listen, that relates to what we said, that a person, sometimes we learn on the halacha day at the end of class, that sometimes a person does have to not necessarily believe the Lashon Hara, but take it as possible truth and then verify it. So that's what it says here. Well, Rabbi Trink verified this to be true. He decided to go to the movie theater, which was more than an hour's walk from the yeshiva. At the theater, he asked the cashier if he could enter for just a few minutes to speak to his student who was inside. I mean, imagine the scene in your mind. It's unbelievable. The student told me he was watching the movie when suddenly he noticed someone sitting down next to him. In other words, the student told Rabbi Krohn. Though it was dark, the student immediately saw it was his Rebbe, exclamation mark. Utterly stunned, he whispered hoarsely, Rebbe, what are you doing here? I have to tell you something, Rabbi Trink whispered back. But how did you get here? The student asked incredulously. I walked, came Rabbi Trink's smiling reply. It's more than an hour's walk, the student exclaimed. Yes, I know, said Rabbi Trink, but what I have to tell you is important. The student told me he was bracing himself for an angry diatribe, but instead Rabbi Trink said, I want to tell you the popcorn they sell here is treif. Please don't buy the popcorn. If someone eats treif food, it could be harmful to his neshama. By the way, this is relevant to Parsha Shmini, which is the parsha we'll read on this upcoming Shabbos. If someone eats treif food, it could be harmful to his neshama. That's it? Asked the amazed student. Yes, said Rabbi Trink. I would say all the food here is treif, so don't eat it. He stood up and he said to the boy, I will see you back at yeshiva. The student took his Rabbi's hand and he said, wait, don't go. I'm coming with you, Rabbi. Together, Rabbi and Talmud left the theater and walked more than an hour back to the yeshiva. The student told me that although they conversed most of the way, not once did Rabbi Trink mention the car or the theater. When they reached the yeshiva, the 16-year-old boy said, Rabbi, I swear I will never be Michal Shabbos again, and he never was. Today, that student is an upstanding Jew who helps multitudes, all because of the wisdom of his Rabbi, who got his message across with dignity, validation, wisdom, and respect. This, says Rabbi Pesach Kohn, is a chacham, one who manifests his wisdom by what he says. Chacham mahu. How can you tell what a wise person is? Omer, by what he says and how he speaks. Rasha mahu, how could you tell a wicked person? Also Omer, by what he says and what he speaks. Furthermore, Tam mahu, you could tell a simple person by the simplicity of his speech. And finally, the She'edo De'alishol doesn't even say mahu Omer, he doesn't know how to speak at all. And therefore, Apsachul, you have to try and open up the speech for him. So I thought it was very powerful, very beautiful, and I wanted to share that with you. We are going to go inside the Sefer now. We are on page 168. I posted it a couple of weeks ago, but we're really going to be going outside the Sefer. I'm just going to be hopefully finishing this paragraph, Be'ezras Hashem, on page 168. So we're finishing Perek Yud Gimel today. And we're going to be talking about the topic of Gaiva, because that's what the Chafetz Chaim speaks about on this page. So the Chafetz Chaim says, this is the last paragraph in Perek Yud Gimel. Ulam yikshali, there's a difficulty for me. Amasha anu omrim b'chol yam b'tfilasenu, on what we say every day in our prayers. Mechayi meisim b'rachamim rabim. So for those of us who already daven tfilas shachris, and Musaf actually, we say that Hashem is the mechayi meisim b'rachamim rabim. He resurrects the dead with great mercy. And when you think of these words today, we... Rahman al-Tzan, despite the many who Rahman al-Tzan have lost their lives, there are those who, For example, my community, Dr. Yisachar Greenberg, they had to add a name. That's how critical he was. Yisachar Chaim ben Esther Malka. They actually added the name Chaim. He was in critical condition. And now, Baruch Hashem, he is home from the hospital. He's actually going for a walk on Yom Tov. And I walked by the house and I saw a fellow from the community, Izzy Root, was standing on Yisachar Greenberg's lawn. And Yisachar Greenberg was at his upstairs window. And Izzy Root was doing a Bikur Cholem from the lawn to the upstairs window. And it gave me such a Simchas Yom Tov to see somebody. So when we talk about Mechayim Mesim in a perhaps non-literal sense, but very real sense, we have to give thanks to Ribbono Shel Olam for all of those who have found themselves in dire straits and Baruch Hashem have come home. Mechayim Mesim Brachamim Rabim. Ama Anu Tzrichim L'Rachamim. So the Chavetz Chaim says, why do we need mercy? Hallo Kol Yisrael B'Vadai, certainly all of Israel, Yeshlan Zchus Shel Torah Kriya Shema B'Chol Yam. Here he's talking about the ultimate Tchias Mesim. He's talking about the ultimate Tchias Mesim, the time of the resurrection of the dead, will be a Mashiach. So he says, why do you need to say Mechayim Mesim, God will resurrect the dead, but Rachamim Rabim, with great mercy. Why? Because certainly all of Israel has the zchus of Torah and Kriya Shema every day. So the Chavetz Chaim says everybody has the zchus of Kriya Shema and Torah. So why do you need Rachamim for the resurrection of the dead? In other words, he's saying everybody will come back at the time of Tchias Mesim. Dela Griya Mistam Torah, because Kriya Shema is not worse than routine learning of Torah. In other words, if you at the very least have the schus of Kriya Shema every day, so you're gonna have Tchias Mesim. So why do we need Rachamim Rabim? So the Chavetz Chaim says, V'chazakas HaTorah, and certainly all Jews have the merit of the strength of Torah, the Efshar Mishum Avon Hagaiva. Perhaps you could say that what might prevent someone from coming back, from being resurrected at the time of Tchias HaMesim, is the sin of Gaiva. De Amr Chazal, like the sages say in Maseches Sota Hey Amen Aleph, De Ein Afaro Ninar Letchias HaMesim, because the dust of a person who is a Baal Gaiva will not be revived Ninar from air, from Libi air, the person who is a Baal Gaiva will not have his soul or his dust or his body, I should say, resurrected, come back alive or awake at the time of Tchias HaMesim. So I want to spend a few minutes talking about this sin of Gaiva. If you notice, when we said the Tfil Al Hadibra, how we began class, one of the sins that we beseech the Ribbono Shel Olam to save us from is the sin of Gaiva. We say, Ve'ezarim ledaber devrei sheker, chanufa machlokas kaz Gaiva. So the Chavetz Chaim says here, in closing, Perek Yud Gimel of Kuntros Chovas HaShmira, that if the sin of Gaiva is enough to prevent a person from being resurrected at the time of Tchias HaMesim. Very frightening. So I'm going to go to Parshas Mitzora. This coming week's parasha is Shmini, and after Shmini we have Tazria and Mitzora. Tazria and Mitzora deal with the person who has Tzara'as. I define Tzara'as as leprosy, because leprosy is a medical condition. Tzara'as rather is a spiritual malady, spiritual malady with physical manifestation. Okay. So after the person, I'm so sorry, one second please. In Parshas Tazria, you have the illness and the diagnosis, and in Mitzora, he comes to be healed. So I'm in Perek Yudalid of Sefer Vayikra. Right? This is the beginning of Parshas Mitzora. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Zos tia Torah HaMitzora, this should be the law of the Mitzora, B'yom Taharaso, on the day when he comes to be purified. V'huva al ha-koin, he shall be brought to the koin. V'yatza koin ha-mechutz ha-machana, the koin has to go out to the camp, outside of all three camps, because we know, Rashi says it right here, chutz l'shalosh machanos, shenishtalach sham b'mei chaluto, that the koin should go outside of all three camps, because that's where the Mitzora was sent on the day of his absoluteness. We know that because he caused a divide between man and friend and between man and wife with his Lashon Hara, the Mitzora was sent out of Machane Shechiyah, Machane Leviyah, and even Machane Yisrael. He cannot have any association with anyone in Knesset Yisrael. Ra'al Kohen, and the Kohen sees, V'hinei nir panega Tzoras, he sees that the affliction of Tzoras is healed, min ha-tzorua, from the person who has Tzoras, but Tziva ha-Kohen, so now, what does he have to do as part of his purification process, he who spoke Lashon Hara, but Tziva ha-Kohen, the Kohen commands, V'lokach la-mitaher, he takes for the person who's being purified, shtei tziporim, two birds, chayos tehoros, they should be alive, they should be pure. The eight erez, cedar wood. Ushni tola'as, a crimson tongue of wool, the azov and hyssop. So Rashi says there's great significance to the items that the Kohen orders be taken on behalf of the purification process of the Metorah. Rashi says, first of all, they have to be live birds and tohoros, they can't be trefos. Furthermore, tohoros, prat lo'ov tamei, they cannot be a tamei bird. Furthermore, says Rashi, the fisha hanegayim b'ayna lashon hara, because tzara'as, the affliction, comes because of lashon hara, shehu ma'asei pit putei devarim, the one who speaks lashon hara, is an act of verbal twittering, or chittering, or chattering. Lefichach, therefore, who's kekula tahoraso? He needs for the purification process, tziporim, birds, shamifat pitin tamid, who constantly chirp, bitsiftuf call, with a chirping sound. So why does it bring birds? He bring birds to remind himself that his sin became because of chirping. And so the affliction came because of his chirping. The eight erez, why cedar wood? And I quote, and this is why I thought to focus on this during this class as we close up Perek Yud Gimel, says Rashi, why cedar wood? Lafisha hanegaim bain al gasus haruach. Because the affliction of tzara'as comes from a haughty spirit. And the Chofetz Chaim tells us in the end of the Sefer, quoting Chazal Maseches Sota, that one who is a Baal Gaiva, for the sin of Gaiva, he will not be resurrected at the time of Trias HaMesim. Why does Tzara'as come? Al Gasus HaRuach, for a haughty spirit. Why Shni Tolas Ve'ezov, crimson tongue of wool and hyssop, Mata Kanasov V'Yisrape, what is his remedy that he should be cured? Yashpil Atzmo, quote, Miga Avaso, he should lower himself from his Gaiva, like what? Kisola'as, like a worm, because solas is a play on words, on dyed wool, and also worm. Ukeezov, and like a hyssop. So the hyssop is an herb which is very low growing. He felt like an eight erez. He felt like a cedar wood. He felt tall and proud. He felt like a bal gaiva, a gasus aruach. Therefore, he felt like he could speak lashon hara over people. So as his remedy, he takes two birds that chirp to remind himself that chirping led to the sin, and he takes, instead of being like a cedar wood, he should make himself like a lowly worm and like a hyssop. Okay? And what does he do? Vitziva Kohen, going back to the Pesukim, we finish with Rashi for now. Vitziva HaKohen, Vishachat Esatzipar Echas, the Kohen commands, and they slaughter one of the birds, El Kli Charas Amayim Chayim, into an earthenware vessel over spring water. Esatzipar HaChaya Yikach Oso, and the live bird he should take, and the cedar wood, and the crimson tongue of wool, and the hyssop, and he should dip that bundle into the blood of the shechted bird over the live water, the spring water. So they take the live bird, and the hyssop, and the cedar wood, and the crimson tongue of wool, and they dip it into the blood of the slaughtered bird. So what's interesting here is you have two birds. Just a reminder, if you don't know how to mute your phones, please sit in a quiet space. Hey, thank you so much. So just a friendly reminder. So you dip the live bird and these different types of trees or parts of trees into the blood of the shechted bird. And it's so interesting that you have one live bird and one shechted bird. And I think perhaps you could say that that represents the sin of lashon hara. With your chittering and your chattering, one person who is in a sense alive kills another person, and you shech the bird. And what do? With the live bird, interestingly, you have to send it. V'shilach ha-tzitzipor ha-chai al pnei ha-sada. That live bird, one bird is shechted, and you dip into its blood, showing that you slaughtered a person. V'shilach ha-tzitzipor ha-chai al pnei ha-sada. But the live bird is sent out over the field. What does that represent? I'm sure you all know the famous mashal. And there was a child who was not careful with his words in a town. I think it's just a mashal, but it's famous. It has a point, and it relates to this tzipor hachaya that is sent over the field. Well, there was a young boy who wasn't careful with his words. So So his rabbi told him, it was back in the shtetl in Europe, and his rabbi from Cheder told him, go around town with a pillowcase and ask every housewife for one feather. Collect as many feathers as you can. At the end of the day, or the end of 2 days, the boys come back to his rabbi. The boy comes back to his rabbi, and he has a whole pillowcase full of feathers. And the rabbi said to him, very good, you listen. Now take that pillowcase and shake all those feathers out over the center field in the center town of the shtetl. And the boy scatters, like his rabbi tells him to do, all the feathers, and he goes back to his rabbi. He doesn't know what his rabbi wants him to do, and the rabbi says to him, now you have learned your lesson. Try and go and collect all the feathers you scattered. So the boy says, it's impossible. I can't get all the feathers. The wind blew them all over the place. The rabbi said, that's exactly right. That's the power of your words. Try and collect your poisonous words after you have uttered them. You can never get them back. And I think here we see some symbolism in that. In v'shilach ha-tzipor ha-chaya al p'nei ha-sada, that live bird is sent over the field. Why isn't that live bird slaughtered? If Lashon Hara kills three, why don't you kill both birds? Well, we know that one bird is shachted. The blood represents the people that have been killed with the Lashon Hara, but the live bird represents the flying away of your words. Try and get them back. You can never get them back. And Rashi tells us here, Beferish, I've already quoted it. Why do the Nega'im Ba'im? Ba'in al Gasus Haruach. They come because of haughtiness. And Yashbil Atzmo Miga'ava. So he has to reduce himself or lower himself down from his Gaiva. So we see that not only does the sin of gaiva lead to lashon hara and murder, but the sin of gaiva actually leads to the fact that the person will not be resurrected at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. If you could please go to the handouts that I sent you. I posted it on the Shmiras HaLashon chat so that you could follow along with me. We are now going to quote from the Sefer Orchos Yashar. The Sefer Orchos Yashar is the classic Musar Sefer, if you will, of Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. Okay, so we are beginning the section called the chapter Perchav Beis. Parak of Beis, which is the parak on Anivus. So again, please go to the Shmiras HaLashon class WhatsApp. I posted the pages so you could follow inside with me. Okay, so we're going. Page 299, Orchos Yashar, Parak of Beis, Anivus, Anava. Shaninu beparak arba de avos. We learn the parak dala, the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos. Me'od me'od hevei shval ruach. Very, very much. Not one me'od, two me'ods. Very, very much. A person should be of humble, low spirit. Shetikvos enosh rima. That's what Pirkei Avos tells you. Why should he be haughty? You know what the hope of man is? The anticipated end of Enosh, of all men, is Rima. Everyone goes back to worms. Everyone goes back to dust. But Amru, and the Gemara says in Masachas Avodah Zarah, Zihirus Mevia Lidei Zrizus. To be Zahir, to be on guard, to be alert, leads to Zrizus, leads to alacrity. But I'm not, just go get a dish towel. I'm sorry, something got spilled. Just go get a dish towel. But Anava Gedola Mikulan, but the trait of Anivus is greater than all. The Amru, Einacha Mida Tova Ba'olam Ka Anava. There is in Osios the Rabbi Akiva, the Zal teaches us, there is no better midah in the entire world than Anivus. Ubis Sanhedrin, and Masecha Sanhedrin, Ezu ben Olam Haba. The Gemara says, who is a ben Olam Haba? This is in Masecha Sanhedrin, Peiches, Ezu ben Olam Haba. In Vasan Ushval Berach, Shayef Ayel, Shayef Nafik, Vigaris Beoraisa, Tidira, Velo Machzik, to visa lenafshe. This means, right? One who has a place in the world to come is one who is unpretentious, who has a humble posture, who bends his head when he enters and bends his head when he leaves. In other words, he doesn't want to draw attention to himself. He comes in quietly, he leaves quietly. Vigaris ba'oraisa tidira. He regularly learns Torah, and he does not take any credit for himself. Ubereish Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta. In Derech Eretz Zuta we learn, I'm still on page 299 of Orchos Yashar, third line from the bottom of the page. Darkon shel Talmidei Chachamim. What is the way of Talmidei Chachamim? Anav, one who is humble. Shefal Ruach, one who is of low spirit. Aluvin, he is beloved. V'ahuv v'chol Adam, he is unassuming and loved by every man. Shefal Anashe Beso, look at this. He is gentle with his own members of his family. And this is very important, especially now in the times when we are living, when we are all home already over a month with people in our home. Sometimes, you know, the expression, you should treat the people in your home like the treat the people in your street. Sometimes it's easier to be kind and unassuming and lowly and forgoing with the people in the street. But what about with the people in your home? Please, please, please maintain your silence if you don't know how to mute your phones. The background noise becomes very difficult. Please. Okay? So shafala anshe beso, you also have to maintain that anivus with the people of your house. Uvakala rabasi, so what are the Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shita does in his Orchos Yashar is he calls, related to the topic or of the chapter, many sources from many, many different places, Amamre Chazal, to remind us of what he's teaching us. Uvakala rabasi, and it says in Kala rabasi, afilu at mashim b'chol midos, even if a person, even if you are complete in all the midos, last line on page 299, im ein b'cha anava, if you do not have anivus, ata chaser, you are lacking. Don't think that if you have all other midos, but you're lacking one mido, you're lacking anivus, you're okay. No, you are chaser, dahachi amri b'nei enasha, like people say, ma gavra rabba pilanya ilule gaiva, how great that person would be if not for his gaiva, top of page 300, uva avos, and it says in avos, okay. Ruach nemucha v'nefesh shafala mitalmidav sha'av mavinu. If you want to know what it means to be from a talmid, to be from the yeshiva, to be a child of, like we all are, av mavinu, you have a ruach nemucha, a low wind, a low spirit, v'nefesh shafala, and a low soul. However, ruach gevoha v'nefesh rechava, if you're a baal gaiva with a broad spirit, then you are the talmidim of Bilam Harasha. And we all have to ask ourselves, whose camp we want to be in? Remember, going back to the first beautiful varta we quoted, a chacham mahu, how do you know who a chacham is? Omer, by how he speaks. Avram Avinu is a person who was of a low spirit, who recognized his worth, but always understood how to speak and understood that he says to Hashem in his tefillos, Hinei na ha'alti ladaber, vanochi ofer ve'efer. Avram understood when he was doubting for the people of Sodom and Amor that despite how great he was that he could talk to Ribbono Shel Olam, he was of such low spirit, he described himself as ofer ve'efer. Uschar anava amru besota. And the reward for anivus was given in Masecha Sota. Misha datosh fala alav, one whose his mind is humble before himself. Mala lava kasuv kilu hikrav kol hakarbanos shabbaolam. Someone who is lowly, who sees himself as a low spirit, a humble person, it's as if he brought all the karbanos in the world. V'amru, and the Gemara says in Maseches, Eruvin, kol hamashbil atzvo, anyone who lowers himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbil, Hashem will raise him up. But the Gemara says that anyone who runs after gaiva and haughtiness and elevated stature, it will run away from him. V'amru, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu morish esa olam haba, ela la'anavim. Hashem does not bequeath the world to come only to those who are humble. So this relates to what the Chavetz Chaim is saying at the end of Perek Yud Gimel of the chapter here. So we just learned in Rav Chaim Kanievsky that Olam Haba is reserved only for those who are humble. And the Chavetz Chaim tells us that Tchias HaMesim is also reserved only for those who are humble. The Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashra as Ruach HaKodesh Ela Al HaNavim. And furthermore, Hashem does not rest his divine spirit only on those who are humble person. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashra Shchinasu Ela Al Anav. Uva Mechelta, and in Mechelta, Umoshe Nigash El Ha'arafel, the Pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, Sefer Shmos, Moshe came close to the thick darkness, Miga Ramlo, in other words, when Moshe was going from Matan Torah, it says, Moshe Nigash El Ha'arafel, Moshe was going close to the thick cloud. Who was in the thick cloud? The Ribbono Shel Olam was in the thick cloud. Miga Ramlo, who caused Moshe to be able to approach the Shechina in Inevisanuso, his humility. But I'll just tell a beautiful sidebar. I believe I read it in the biography of Rav Yaakov Edelstein. Moshe Nigash El HaRafel. At the time Moshe was coming close to receive the Torah, he had to go through the thick cloud. I read a beautiful word, I believe, from Rav Yaakov Edelstein, the biography, Zatzal. Says something beautiful. In order to reach Torah, sometimes a person has to go through a thick darkness. Why is the Torah tells you Moshe Nigash El HaRafel? I'm fourth line from the bottom of page 300 of Orchos Yashar. Moshe had to approach the thick cloud. He had to pass through a thick darkness, a heavy cloud, in order to reach the Shechina, so to speak, in order to accept Torah. So Rav Yaakov Edelstein teaches that in order for a person to access Torah, to access Kedusha, sometimes it's required to go through a very thick cloud, to go through a difficult, dark climb. And I think that relates to all of us right now. One of my kids just said to me on Shabbos, I want everything to go back to normal. It's so hard to daven properly like this. It's so hard to learn Torah properly like this. It is. Right now, we are in an arafel. We are in a dark thickness. We're in a cloud. There seems to be a mechitza, chalila v'chas, between us and Ribono Shel Olam. We find ourselves struggling in this thick darkness. But Rabbi Yaakov Edelstein says, that's exactly right. Emotionally, gosh, el harafel. You have to know that sometimes to access Torah, you have to go through that darkness. Right now, this is what Hashem wants of us. It might be very difficult. We have to persevere. We're going through a darkness. But going back to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who caused or what caused Kenosha that he should be able to access that Torah? His humility, Shemar, like the pasuk says, Va'ish Moshe Anam Me'od Mikol Adam Hashal Pnei Adam. That's in Vamidbar when Miriam and Aaron speak Lashon Hara about Moshe. What's the Torah's response? It tells us that Moshe was the most humble man who ever lived. So they spoke Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara comes from haughtiness. It's hard to say that Chas V'Shalom about Miriam and Aaron. They had different motivations. The Ramban writes that Miriam was only miskaving the Tova. She loved her brother and she was miskaving the Tova. But for us, we speak Lashon Hara because of Gaiva. What is Moshe's response when people speak Lashon Hara about him? Va'ish Moshe Anam Me'od Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Ha'Adam. He was the most humble person who ever lived. Someone spoke about him. He did not take it personally. Magid Akasuv Shekol Misha Hu Shehu Anam, to teach you that whoever is an Anav, Sofo Lahasho Shechina Im Ha'Adam Ba'aretz. The Shechina will rest with that person, even in this world. You can access the Shechina while you're in this world as long as you are an Anav. V'chol shehu gaval lev, however, anyone who is of haughty, elevated spirit, who sees himself as greater than he is, and who thinks he's greater than everyone else, goreim letame es ha'aretz. He causes impurity to this world, ulesalik es ha'shchina, and he causes the divine presence to depart from this world. V'kari to'eva. Kimo Avodah Zarah. Look at that. He is called an abomination. Just like you call Avodah Zarah an abomination, so too you call a person who is a Baal Gaiva an abomination. Unbelievable. Now, I skipped a little bit for you. The chapter on Anivus is much longer. But go to the next page, which is page 305. Okay? I didn't give you the whole page 304 because I'm just quoting one sentence from the bottom of page 304, which I'm going to quote outside. So you don't have this yet. I'm going to tell you when you're on the top, page 305. One sentence from 304 in Archos Yashar. The cause of her Rambam. The Rambam writes, very famous teaching of the Rambam. V'yesh deos she'asur lo l'adam l'nhog bahen b'bein odis. Go to the top, page 305. The Rambam writes, there are personality traits, that it is usur for a person to be a bein odis. So what does the Rambam teach? The Rambam teaches that in Hilchos Deos, and for all character traits, a person should be in the middle path. What you call the Shvil HaZahav. A person should be in the middle path. You need a little bit of all character trait. Not too much, not too little. But in order to be a productive Ben Torah, a productive Bas Yisrael, a productive Eved Hashem, you need all character traits. However, the Rambam writes that there are two character traits that a person should never have any of. So again, yesh deos she'asur lo l'adam linhog behen b'bein onis. There are character traits that it is usur for a person to be in the middle path, even though you should always try and be in the middle path, the Shvil Hazav. For these two character traits, you should never have any of them. Top of page 305. Ela yisrachik min hakatza ha'achad ad hakatza ha'achad. You should stay very, very far away. I should be at the opposite extreme of not having these at all. Vihu, and what are they? So here, the Archos Yashar, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, does not discuss one of them because we're in the chapter on humility, anivus. But I will tell you that the second one is ka'as. When it comes to the midah of ka'as, which, by the way, also relates exactly to kolach hadibur and shmir salashan, when it comes to ka'as, the Rambam writes, a person should never have any ka'as. You should not say, I have to be on the Shvil HaZahav, I have to be in the middle path, I have to be the Bein Oni. No, when it comes to ka'as, there is no room. In fact, the Rambam writes, as quoted by the Ramban on the commentary to Moshe Rabbeinu Sin by Mei Meriva, according to the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, what was Moshe Rabbeinu Sin? That he struck the rock? No. that he screamed at the people. Parshas Chukas, Shimuna Hamorim, Hamin Hazela, Hazen, Notzi, the Chamayim, according to the Rambam, Moshe's sin, Amei Mervira, which prevented him from going to Eretz Yisrael, was shouting, losing his patience, if you will. Very strong lashon of the Rambam there, that he became angry at the people. So one is kaas, you should never have kaas, because if you have kaas, you're going to come to abuse the power of speech. A person who is bekaas loses all rationality, and he spews forth words he wishes he would never have said. In fact, that relates also to Pesach. I said it at the Seder table, but it's really my children who taught it to me. And it comes to Makas Tzvardeya. So when it comes to Makas Tzvardeya, please remember to sit in a silent, quiet place as best as you can if you don't know how to mute your phones. We're, you know, starting to finish up Shir, so if I could just have silence for the few more minutes that we still have our learning, I want to make sure to finish this piece of the Orchos Yashar. Okay, so when it comes to Makas Tzvardeya, okay, in Parshas Va'era, it says Vata'al HaTzvardeya. When it comes to the Nilus River, it says that a frog, singular, came up from the river. Okay. So Rashi famously tells us, this is in Parshas Va'era by the Makos, Rashi tells us one frog came up, the Egyptians were hitting the frog, and as they hit the frog, every time they hit the frog, more and more little frogs jumped out of the big frog's mouth until the whole land of Egypt was filled with frogs. So there's a very good kasha on this that my boys taught me, that they learned in yeshiva. There's a gishma kasha on this. If there was only one frog, it was a huge frog, and every time they hit it, little frogs came out. So stop hitting the frog. You want to the mark of Tzvardeya. There'll be one big frog. He's not bothering you. Every time you hit the frog, there are little frogs. So what's the pshat? So you learn from here that when a person is given over to rage, to anger, they were so angry at this big frog, they start hitting it. They lose all sense of rationality. How interesting is it that because of kaas, the kaas of the Egyptians, the big frog was spitting out of its mouth little frogs? Perhaps here an allusion to the fact that when we give ourselves over to kaas, we spew things from our mouths that we should never have said. But when a person becomes angry, they lose all reason and rationality, and they end up being over on Korach HaDibur and Shmir Salashan. So the one thing the Rambam says is a person should never mida bein onis with kaas. With kaas, you have to be all the way to not have kaas. Furthermore, the other thing is, page 305, end of the line, v'hu gival lev. The other mida that the Rambam says you should never have is haughtiness. She'ein derech hatova she'ya adam anav bilvad. Ela she'yesh shefal ruach. It's not enough to be an anav. It's not enough to be humble. You have to be of lowly spirit. And that's what we saw. We started shir, sort of, in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Mitzora, that a person should lower himself down. You thought you were a cedar? You thought you were a gevav lev? Make yourself like a hyssop. Shefal ruach. Ve'tiya rucho nemucha lem'od. His spirit has to be very, very low. Ulefichach ne'emar b'moshe Rabbeinu anav ba'od. And that's why it doesn't say when Miriam and Aaron spoke that he was stam an anav. He was an anav me'od. Velo nemar anav bilvad. Ulefichach tzivui chachamim, and therefore the sages commanded, me'od me'od hevei shval ruach. Keneged Moshe's anav me'od, the sages tell him, Pirka Avos, you should very, very much be very, very low spirit. Ve'od amru shekol magbia libo kafar b'yikor. Look at the statement. The Archos Yashar just told you, Chaim Kanevsky just tells you that someone who is of a haughty heart, he is literally a kafar b'yikor. This is terrifying. It's mamash, a very scary thought. He's a kafar b'yikor. He denies the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Maybe that's why we could bring Ashir almost full circle. Maybe that's why the Chavetz Chaim teaches, and then the Perek Yud Gimel and Sefer Kuntros Chavetz Shmira, that someone who is a Baal Gaiva will not be brought back at the end of Tchias HaMesim. Why won't he be brought back in the time of Tchias HaMesim? Because if you're a Baal Gaiva, it's like you're a kafar b'yikor. If you don't believe in the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so Hashem says, Mida Kenega Mida. You don't believe in me, no problem. So it means you don't believe in Tchias HaMesim, one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah. So it also means you won't come back at the time of Tchias HaMesim. If you don't believe in the God, if you're a kafar b'yikor because of your Baal Gaiva, you're the one who shechted another person, represented in that bird that was shechted, the Tzipar Chai Tahar, which ultimately was shechted. You're like the Tzipar, your words are like the Tzipar that flew over the open field. You can't get them back. Because of your Gaiva, you're a kafar b'yikor, so then you won't come back at the time of Tchias HaMesim, because God says you don't believe in me anyway, so why should I bring you back? Shenemar, like the Pasuk says in Devarim, Parak Ches, V'ram levavecha v'shachach das Hashem alkecha pasha. Moshe Rabbeinu says beferish. When a person becomes haughty, he forgets Ribbono Shel Olam. V'od amru v'shamta ma'ein di'is be'gasus ariach v'afil miktsasa ad kan l'shoro. That means one who possesses even a small trace of arrogance deserves to be excommunicated, which is exactly why the Metzora sits out of all three camps. He is, in a sense, excommunicated because of a sin of gaiva, which led to Lashon Hara. I really want to finish this piece of the Ochras Yashar. I'm going to make a little joke, black humor. No one really has anywhere to go anyway. So I see the time. I know our time is almost up, but since we all can't go anywhere, I might go a couple of minutes over. I'm going to try not to. My next year is at 10:30, but I want to finish this piece. Okay, page 305, Orchas Yashar. V'ayim b'sefer chaya olam. We should see the sefer chaya olam. And now he quotes his father, a stipler. La Adoni Avi Mori Virabi Zichrono Levracha Lachaye Ha'olam Haba Chelik Arv Perchav Zayin Shaharich Levar, his father, Zecher Tzadim Kodesh Levracha Zchusa Yagin Aleinu, expounded at length. Shakol HaSveikos, look at this. V'habil Bulim B'inyane Amuna. All of the doubts and the confusion that a person has in regard to Amuna, Einam Ela Eitza Bale Gaiva. You should know that what is the root of all doubt? Your Bal Gaiva. It means a person believes in himself. If a person believes in himself, what's the first thing Paro said? Sefer Shemos, Parsha Shemos, Perikei Pasuk Beis. Moshe shows up in the scene and Moshe says, you know, the God of the Hebrews appeared to me. Let us go worship our God. And what's Paro's response? Mi Hashem Asher Eshmo Bekalo, L'shalach Es Yisrael. Lo Yadati Es Hashem V'gam Es Yisrael Lo Shalech. What does Paro say? He doesn't say economically I need the slaves. Economically I benefit from Hebrew slave labor. His reply is, because Paro is the quintessential Baal Gaiva, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo, L'shalach Es Yisrael, Lo Yadati Es Hashem, V'gam Es Yisrael, Lo Shalech. Excuse me, I don't know God. The quintessential Baal Gaiva is someone who is a Kofar Beikar. I know myself, said Paro, but I don't know God. Aval, continues the stipler, Misha hu anav be'emes, someone who is truly humble. Ein eslo shum sveikos hu bilbulim, he does not have any doubts, he doesn't have any confusion in regard to Amunah. He is such an anav that he understands the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge. Says Avram Avinu, I'm davening for the people of stone, but I understand that God is in charge. I am only afar ve'efer. I have no doubts, Hashem. Everything you do at Surah Tamim Palo, ki kol racham mishpat. Tell Emuna, the Ein Avel, Tzadik V'Yashar, who says Moshe. I ain't Sham, so the Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, see my father safer at length, the cause of Shazar Eitz Nechona. And this is good advice. The Chol Elu Sheyesh Lehem Ba'ayos. If you have problems, you should work on becoming a Baal Anivus. The Hu Baduk Menusa. This has been tested, tried and true. If you acquire the Midah of humility, you will improve your Bein Adam L'makom and your Emuna. And you will improve your Ben Adam Chaveru. I hear some noise. I'm really trying to finish up. It's a little bit disturbing. If you could please just sit quietly and beseech you for the last few minutes of Shir. Bottom of page 305, Orchas Yashar. Ube Emes. Look at this. And you know, when I was preparing this yesterday, I thought how relevant. It's so interesting. There's such a shkacha. I find such a shkacha in my Shir preparation and Shir timing. Alyssa walked by and she said, it's her father's yurtzei. And I thought to myself, wow, that's just a shame. We're going to have Shir Monday and it's her father's yurtzei. And we don't usually learn in such close juxtaposition to her father's yurtzei because it's over Yom Tov of Pesach. I don't usually teach on Pesach. This year, because we can't go anywhere, this is quad, our Chalamai trip. Shabbi Takan, Ali and Hashem, for Tzvi Gershon, Ben Yoav V'chana, Lo V'sham. Furthermore, we're all stuck in the house, you could say, with members of our family. And it could lead to machlokas between people. Look at the last one in page 305. Uva emes, kol hamerivos babatim, all quarrels in the home. V'she'ein shalom babayis, and when there is no peace in the house, shematzui me'od bizmaneinu. This is like prophetic, because he could be talking about right now. I heard Rav Asher Weiss Shlita say, and Mamash heard him say, I saw, it was a Zoom share, and I heard and I saw him say that while car accidents in Eretz Yisrael are down, Baruch Hashem, because car accidents in Eretz Yisrael are a terrible pachad, he said, Shalom Bayis issues are up, Rechman al-Otzan. I assume it's not only in Eretz Yisrael, but it could be Hashem Yirachem Eleinu, we should never know from such a thing. People are stuck home. Let's say the Shalom Bayis isn't so great. It's a problem. So the Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, Ube emes, kol merivos babatim, v'she'ein Shalom Bayis, all quarrels in the house. When there's no Shalom Bayis, shematzui me'od bizvaneinu, that is very relevant in our time, top of page 306, just a few lines, Ruban kechulan ba'in al yedei gaiva. Everybody feels I'm right. If I'm right, you're wrong. It gives me room to speak Lashon Hara. It gives me room to speak Rechius. It gives me room for Ka'as. It gives me room for Machlokas. All the things we daven for. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says it comes because of Gaiva. And if every person would harness the midah of anivus, v'lo haya ichpalo al kivoda v'al gavasar, who cares? Let it go. Ma'ichpalach. What do you care? Don't be so machped on your kavod. Don't be so machped on your gaiva. Haya rov hamechlokis mistadrim from the word seder. You would find that the majority of quarrels would work themselves out b'shalom with peace. Dok check b'tishkach. Shaha anava amitis hi refua biduka. You should check and remember and don't forget that pure, true humility is a refua, is a healing, a known healing, and a truthful healing. The Rav Haba'ayos Sheyesh Bismanenu. If we could just harness the power of anivus, it is a cure. There's so many problems in our times. Last line of the Archos Yashar in this parak on Anivus. Bahashem Yisparach Ya'ara Aleinu Ruach Tahora Mimarom. May the Ribbono Shel Olam bless us with a pure spirit from above. Sheniska. We should be zoche. We have to daven for this. Daven that Hashem should bless us with Anava Amitis, a true Anivus. So I hope that I said when I started Shia Bully Nader, we're going to finish the last paragraph in Perek Yud Gimel. I'm not sure if I said Bully Nader. Hashem should help me. We began by talking about Chacham Mahu Omer. Let's translate it a different. Let's punctuate that a different way. Said Rabbi Pesach Kohn. Chacham Mahu. What is a wise person? Omer. You could tell a Chacham by how he speaks. And the Chavetz Chaim closes, I'm just recapping Shir, Perek Yud Gimel of Kuntros Chavetz Hashmir, by telling us, you know why you need Rachamim Rabim at the time of Tchias HaMesim? Isn't everybody going to be come back at the time of Tchias HaMesim? Not necessarily. Afshar, says the Chavetz Chaim, Mishum Avon HaGaiva, De'ein Afaro Ninar L'Tchias HaMesim. You should know, for the sin of Gaiva, a person will not be awakened or aroused or come back to life at the time of Tchias HaMesim. We then went to Parshas Mitzora, we saw the Pesukim with Rashi, we gave insights, and then we learned what the Archos Yashar of Chaim Kanievsky Shlita has to say about the sin of Gaiva and the Midah of Anivus. I am going to finish with, we don't have time for multiple, but at least one halacha from Shmiras Halashon. Exception to the rule. We have already seen, one may not believe even his spouse or close confidant when they relate negative information about others. At most, he may consider the possibility the information might be true. By the way, that's very relevant because in the story of Rav David Trank Shlita, we saw that because he considered the possibility that his Talmud had actually taken a car and went to the movie theater, it was Klamish Sakanas Nefashos of the highest degree in Rechnis, he was able to save the Talmud. Imagine if he wouldn't have believed the story. My Talmud would never do such a thing. He wouldn't have been able to save that boy because he actually said, possibly it could be true, he saved that boy's neshama. The Gemara states, one exception to this rule, where the listener considers the speaker to be a man of unusual integrity, whose words are weighed very carefully, that relates back to Chacham Mahu, Omer, such a person can be trusted to relate an incident exactly as it happened, to the extent that the listener can consider himself as having witnessed it. So if you know the person's a true Chacham, who weighs his words very, very carefully, and he relates something about somebody else, you can actually consider like you witnessed it, and you may accept the report as fact. Nevertheless, since the decision that the speaker is trustworthy is a personal one, he cannot pass information on, even for a constructive purpose. So if you know the person who told you is a true chacham, a man of absolute integrity and morality, you may believe it, but because you actually did not mamash witness it, you cannot pass it on. The Chavetz Chaim is of the opinion that today, no one can claim to have the degree of integrity necessary for his words to be accepted as fact. It is therefore forbidden to believe a negative statement on the basis of someone else's report. However, you can consider it to be true, and you should act upon that. So I thank you all for learning with me this Chol Hamoed morning. I hope that we added some chios and Torah and clarity and simcha to our Simchas Yom Tov. Shal bizocha tzadik in mayed, and besuras tovus, refuas, yeshuas, and the geula ha'asida for all of Klal Yisrael. Amen v'amen.